really excited to have on a former Blue Jay, spent part of five seasons here in TO, including on that 1998 team that won 88 games and still missed the playoffs. He's a three-time All-Star. Now you can catch him on the MLB Network as an analyst. Dan Plesac joins me now. Good afternoon, Dan. How are you?
Andrew, it is so good to be back on the airwaves in T.O. Favorite place I ever played. Great city, great people. I hope to be visiting Toronto with the MLB Network and the World Series in 2015. That's what I'm hoping for.
We hope that, too. I love following you on Twitter because you're always tweeting about the Blue Jays. I love it. You were a fan favorite here as well. Just what's your take on this team, 21-5 in their last 26 and doing what they're doing?
Most improved team in baseball. And you know, when I was buying, Andrew, I loved the Tulowitzki move. Initially, I thought, okay, what the hell do they need another bat for? This is a team with a lot of offense, right?
Yeah.
Then they go get LaTroy Hawkins. And I think one of the, when they were able to bring in David Price, and I will say this, David Price, I had a hard time buying into David Price with the Tigers the last year and a half. Because, Andrew, it just looked like he wasn't a happy camper. I don't know why, whether the trade from Tampa to Detroit was not what he was hoping for. It wasn't the team he wanted to go to. I don't know. But I do know this, Andrew. Since he's put on a Toronto Blue Jays uniform, this guy is pitching with renewed vigor. He is pitching like a guy that loves being a Blue Jay. The Blue Jays love having him. What I really liked was, as soon as he was acquired in that trade, he's on the top step of the dugout, rooting his teammates on. They're pulling for him. He's pulling for them. This is a runaway train right now. And you know what? I think what's so good about this, there's a whole generation of Blue Jays fans that have no idea what a great baseball town that place is. I was in the teeth of it with the Milwaukee Brewers from the late 80s through the early 90s when that Rogers Center, then Sky Dome, opened, and you couldn't get a ticket in that place.
Nope.
And the old Exhibition Stadium, that place would rock on the weekends. And finally now, it is so refreshing. I sit in my MLB Network office, and I listen to Buck Martinez and Pat Tabler. I watch the games from my office. Very few empty seats. The mojo's back. David Price's home opener, when he pitched his first game at home, it was a playoff atmosphere. And you know what they have right now, Andrew? They have respect of everybody in the American League. They're a runaway train right now. They're a better team than the Yankees. They have this homestand coming up. I think this is the biggest homestand they've had in the last 15 years of this organization. Three with the Tigers, three with the Indians, and three with the Orioles. If they could put together a, say, a 6-3, a 7-2 homestand, they're going to put a lot of pressure on the Yankees. They go to New York September 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th, four games in the Bronx. If they can open up and have about a 4 or 5 game lead going into that series, they could blow that thing wide open.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said off the top. Our show started an hour and a half ago, and that was kind of the thoughts off the top today, and we took some calls on it, and everybody wants to weigh in. You know, when cities go baseball crazy, this is the time. Like, they went on that road trip. So it was an 8-game road trip, and the Yankees were just kicking off a 10-game homestand. Jays were a half game back, and you thought, okay, if they can be within a game or two by the end of this, the road trip ended, and they were a game and a half up. Now they got 9 at home, where they have the third-best record in the American League. The time to separate, I'm with you, is right now. Everyone talks about these 7 games with the New York Yankees head-to-head, and those are going to be great. But if you take care of your business, those things matter less and less.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. This is the biggest 9-game homestand this organization has had probably since 1993 when they won the second of the back-to-back World Series championships. I think what's been impressive to me is I had some concerns about the starting pitching, but since David Price has arrived, Estrada's been better. Mark Burley has been consistent all year long. Drew Hutchinson has thrown the ball much better. Tonight's starter, R.A. Dickey, is a guy they need to keep going, keep him pitching well. But the bottom line is, make no bones about it, this team, this offense, it scares the wits out of teams. They not only they hit, they mangle the baseball at home when they play at the Rogers Center. They're a tough team. And right now, I hope they're going to miss Justin Verlander, which is big in this 3-game set against the Tigers. This is a homestand. 3 with Detroit, 3 with Cleveland, 3 with Baltimore. This is when they need to make some hay.
The great Dan Plesac joining us now, MLB Network analyst now on Brady and Walker, and longtime Toronto Blue Jay and Milwaukee Brewer. I want to revisit something you said about David Price, because I'm glad you said it. I'm thinking the same thing. And baseball is such a numbers game, and we look at numbers, and they don't always tell the whole story. But I'm with you. David Price as a Ray, You dreaded facing that guy. And not that he was bad in Detroit, but you're right. It felt different. He felt, for lack of a better term, beatable. And he certainly hasn't here with the Blue Jays. Something did change a little bit. It's sometimes tough to just look past the whip or just look past the ERA and figure that out.
You know what I think, Andrew? He came from an environment in Tampa with Joe Madden, right? The craziness, right? They bring snakes. They have penguins. They have days where they dress up and they go on the road. And it's a freak spirit kind of place to play under Joe Madden in Tampa, right? And all of a sudden, he gets burst into this thing with the Tigers, right? Change of manager, Brad Ausmus in for Jim Leland. This business-like attitude in Motown, you know, expected to win. And I don't think the fun factor was what it was in Tampa when he got traded over to Detroit. Justin Verlander had been going through a rough go. You know, he had been up and down, hadn't been pitching very well. And a lot was expected of David Price. And it just seemed to me, and I don't know this, Andrew, but I watch games every day because that's what I have to do for a living. But it just seemed to me it was a different David Price. And you touched on it, beatable. And when this guy's good, he's about as unbeatable as you can get. And what showed me something was his last start against the Angels, right? Gave up two runs early. The offense comes back. They strike. They get a lead. The next thing you know, he's into the seventh inning. Hadn't given up another run. He's legit. And this is a team right now, Andrew. They can win the whole thing. I'm not saying they're going to. I'm not saying they're the favorites. But I'm saying this. They have an offense that can mash. Their bullpen is pitching much better. There is a little bit of concern. You know, they have a 20-year-old closer in Ozuna, but he's not pitching like he's 20 years old. The bullpen, since they moved Sanchez into the bullpen, is much better. They have the two lefties and Cecil and Loop. I'm liking what I see right now from this team. There's no reason that if they don't get in, they're a scary team, and they're doubly scary if David Price is throwing like he's throwing right now. They could go an awfully long way into October.
People want to compare this offense to the 1993 group, and there's differences, but it is certainly the best offense since 1998. You were on that team. You had Sean Green. You had Carlos Delgado. You had Shannon Stewart doing what he did, and you had Jose Canseco hitting 46 bombs. I know, different era, some different asterisks there, but what was it like playing on that team, and do you see some similarities?
There's some similarities, but I think overall, I think there's better hitters on this team than the 98 Blue Jays. Troy Tulowitzki is a good hitter. Jose Bautista hits for power, but he's a good hitter. I guess the one guy would be Encarnacion. He gets a little wild swinging at times. Justin Smoke has found a home in Toronto. Russell Martin, solid player. Colabello quietly has been a glue that's kind of kept this team together. Pilar just kind of does his thing. The names might not be as much household names as far as Sean Green and Delgado and Jose Canseco, but this offense takes a backseat to no Toronto Blue Jays offense. That includes 92 and 93. The pitching right now, if the pitching stays solid like it is, Andrew, they're going to cause a lot of problems. Right now, in my opinion, they're the best team in the American League. I know the record says the Kansas City Royals, but I'm not really buying the Royals starting pitching. I think the Brewers have a better lineup. Now, the Royals do have one thing. They have a killer bullpen. They have the pen that is the envy of everybody's in baseballs. But there are a lot of more positives, I think, with the Blue Jays than the Royals. And if this Blue Jays team gets in, which I expect them to get in, they're going to cause a lot of problems. They'd have just as good a chance to get to the World Series as any other team that's in the postseason.
How on earth did you appear in 78 games in 1998? How did you feel after game 162?
You know what? It was a friendly, I guess you would call it, gamesmanship with another fellow Canadian, Paul Quantrill.
Right.
He lifted my game to another level. I played 18 seasons, pitched in over 1,000 games. Never played with a guy that ever took a day off like Paul Quantrill. I mean, Andrew, this guy could pitch 6 days in a row. He could pitch 3 innings on Monday, pitch 2 innings on Tuesday. And I had a chance to watch this every day. And it was kind of a competition to where, you know, he would say, hey, old man, you need a day off. And even if I was sore, I'd say, no, I don't need a day off. And you know what he did? He made me a better pitcher. He made me a better pitcher pitching on a staff with Paul Quantrill because this guy – I'm going to just say this. The two guys that I played with in my career, and I played for 18 years. I played with Randy Johnson. I played with Curt Schilling. I will tell you this, pound for pound, the toughest two pitchers that I played with in my 18 years, Pat Hankin, Paul Quantrill. As top to bottom, from head to toe. They weren't the biggest guys. They weren't the toughest guys. Pat Hankin, Paul Quantrill, the two toughest guys I played with.
Dan,
those guys were throwbacks to when, if you can breathe, get out there and go pitch.
So also on that 98 team is a very young, like debuting Roy Halladay, and you played with him later on.
That, right?
Yep, the one game, right?
And he almost throws a no-hitter the last day of the season.
Bobby, I remember where I was. I've cursed Bobby Higginson every day, yeah. And
I remember with the two outs, Andrew, I was telling all the guys in the bullpen, take your coats off, make sure when we run out there and we bull rush Doc Halladay so that your grandkids down the road can see your name on the back of your jersey, so take your coat off. I thought for sure he was going to throw that no-hitter.
And then the other guy was a 25-start Chris Carpenter, who moved on shortly after. Did you know at the time those two were both going to be Cy Young guys?
I'm going to tell you this, Chris. My first spring training, I got done throwing, and Mel Queen, the then pitching coach, says, hey, why don't you stay around? I want you to watch these three guys pitch. Not only was it Carpenter and not only was it Halladay, there were three guys who were throwing back-to-back-to-back on three different mounds. Kelvin Escobar, Roy Halladay, and Chris Carpenter.
Right.
I watched all three of them, Andrew, and I was like, are you kidding me? I remember playing golf. A good friend of mine, Pete Barony, would come from Indiana every year to spring training. We went to play golf one day, and I said, Pete, remember this. I saw two kids throw. I saw three guys throw today, but I saw two kids, and I don't know which one's going to be more special, but remember the name Roy Halladay and Chris Carpenter, because these two are can't miss. If there's such a thing as can't miss, these two guys are can't miss. And that's the first impression when you saw Roy Halladay and Chris Carpenter, and throw Kelvin Escobar into that mix. If you didn't like those three, it was because you were anti-Blue Jay and you didn't want the Blue Jays to have anybody any good. That's how good those three were.
I really appreciate this. I really enjoy this. We really hope that you make your way to Canada coming up in September and October.
I need to get to the Rogers Center bad. So let's go, Blue Jays. Get MLB Network. I want to be live on the field for the World Series in Toronto at the Rogers Center.
Okay, cheer up next time, would you?
Will, you got it. Go Jays.